Let us pray. Your light, O Christ, can blind as much as it reveals. It can burn as much as it can ignite. It convicts as much as it calls. Shine on us anyway. As we walk this road to where we think we're going, guide us to places where we can share your light. Amen. Saul. Saul. Why do you persecute me? These are the words that come from the light that bursts around Saul as he is on the road to Damascus. It is a voice and it is a light that confronts him. It convicts him. It is a voice that he can hear, that those around him can hear, and it is a light that pierces Saul's very soul. But who is Saul anyway? We hear in the letter to the Philippians that Saul is of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. We also know that Saul was a very relatively young man at this point, probably in his 30s. And he'd done very well for himself in his young life. He was a man of power, a man of position, a man of prosperity. He was high ranking amongst the Jewish officials of his day, and much more high ranking than those of his age and ilk. We meet him today, making his name, persecuting people of the way, what those followers of Jesus called themselves early on, people of the way. If we look a little earlier in the book of the Acts of the Apostles, we also see Saul holding the coats of those who would throw stones at Stephen, the martyr. Now, he's on the road to Damascus with letters that he might go and persecute those men or women of the way. But with all this, who's Saul anyway? Other than being Saul of Tarsus, because that's where he was from and that's how he was referred to. But who is this Saul fellow? We come to later know him as Paul. Paul the Apostle. Paul who would write so many letters that would make up most of what we call our Christian writings. This man, Saul, encountered the Christ on the road to Damascus, and it was a turning point for him. More than that, it was a transformational point, because he moves from being Saul to Paul, moves from being the persecutor to the prophet. And he is prolific in his writings. We can turn to the back of our Bibles and see that Paul's name is on most of those letters. But how did he get to that point? We find him on the road, on his way to persecute, and he runs into Christ and he says, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" We don't hear what happens after this passage, but he ends up going into town, being received and accepted by people of the way, being cared for. Can you imagine what that would have been like for Saul? These people that he was persecuting, these people that he was seeking out, brought him in. Right away, he felt the forgiveness of the people of the way. That was his encounter with them when he was most vulnerable. But we're not actually here to talk about what follows. Forgiveness is great, and we should do that. We should be people of the way as they were and forgive and embrace. But this is about what's happening right now, right in this moment, right on that road to Damascus when he's on the way to where he thinks he needs to be and is disrupted by Christ and called somewhere else, called to a different way, called to a new name. We are called to think about what our road to Damascus is. Reflect on your own lives. Reflect on those times where love was refused. Where love was abused. When in your life have you persecuted someone? When in your life were you on the road to do just that thing and you were interrupted by Christ, by a burst of light and a voice calling you to a new way? Many of us have that road to Damascus story where Christ meets us, convicts us, and calls us. Because it's not just about conviction. And conviction isn't bad. Let me just clear that up right now. Conviction is about naming where we are. Naming our brokenness and how we have broken the relationships of others. Christ convicting us is a good thing. Because then, right after that, he calls us to that next step. He calls us to share love, to mend relationships, to embrace brothers and sisters. It's a call. Now, a number of times I've shared my own call story, which, not the same as Paul's, not nearly as dramatic as this image would suggest it was for Paul, but very similar. I was out one day, and I had asked God where I should go. And it was raining and it was terrible and my life just wasn't where I thought it needed to be. And then a light shone down and there wasn't a voice and I wasn't blinded. But I was transformed. And I was called to a new way, to a new path. As Michelle mentioned, 6 years ago I was ordained in this very stole, by the way. It was a transformational experience for me. It was another time on the road where I experienced Christ calling to me, calling me on. And that 6 years has been filled with so many wacky and wonderful twists and turns. Because the road has been anything but straight. It has led me to places where I never expected to be. It led me to Cape Breton. It led me to this place. It led me to the work of the presidency for the last year. You know, it's funny, very shortly after I became president, I heard a little bit of gossip. I know, gossip's terrible. Don't listen to it. But someone had asked someone else, you know, someone, well, he's as high as he can go. Why would he stay here? What's he going to do after the presidency? You know what I get to do? I get to be with you. I get to continue to affirm my call that Christ has given me to be in this place. And yes, when I was in West Bay, Christ stopped me in the middle of the road to where I thought I was going and said, no, these are the people that you are to serve. And I thank God that I listened, that I saw that light, and I followed that path. But the point of all this, and it's actually made best in the movie Prometheus. Anybody ever seen it? Prometheus? Come on. It's one of the alien movies. Don't worry about it. You don't have to see it. It wasn't very good. But there's a line in it where it said that God doesn't build in straight lines. That's a lie. God builds in straight lines all the time. But it's a great line because when it comes to us, when it comes to human beings and our journeys through life and faith, God doesn't build in straight lines. When it comes to us, our life of faith is filled with twists and turns. Look back on your own journey of faith. How many times did you have to make a turn that you didn't expect? How many times was there a bend in the road that wasn't supposed to be there? How many times was there a detour that forced you to go somewhere that you didn't want to go? How many times have you reached a dead end only to have God call you on anyway? Not every encounter with Christ is blinding, but every encounter with Christ is transformational. Every time that we encounter Christ together on our own, whether we're at a funeral or at a worship or celebrating in Sunday school or listening to handbells, we encounter Christ and we are transformed. That's the thing about God, about Christ, about the Holy Spirit. God doesn't wait for us to be ready. God interrupts our lives. God meets us as we're on the way and says, "Just a moment, I have something to tell you," and then changes the direction on us. Because as much as we turn to God for comfort, to Christ for peace, and to the Holy Spirit for relief, it is God who instigates those changes and new creations in our lives. It is Christ who disrupts our lives from what we would call placid and comfort lives. And for as much as we sing of the spirit of gentleness, it is that same spirit that calls us beyond what we think our limit is. This is what this reading is about. God breaking into our lives, convicting us, yes, calling us, yes, embracing us, yes. And the story of Saul, who would be Paul, should be encouraging for us. Because he was not among the 12 who walked with Christ. He was not among the followers and the hangers-on who were there for the bread, there for the fish, there for the miracles. He just had second and third-hand information about these miracle stories. Maybe he only just read about Jesus. Does that sound like anybody? Does that sound like you? You weren't there, but you've heard the story. Saul wasn't there, but he heard the story. And Paul was called. That should be encouraging for us, but it should be scary too. Because if it could happen to Paul, it could happen to any of us at any time in our lives. Maybe it's already happened to you. Maybe it was when you were on the way to the grocery store, to the doctor, to school, to work that you thought you loved. Christ can break in any one of these moments and call us to something completely new. So how do we respond? One of my favorite hymns, and is actually going to be next, one of my favorite hymns is "I, the Lord of Sea and Sky." It's a really powerful hymn, and you talk to a lot of ministers and they'll say the same thing. It's a powerful hymn because it cuts to the core of us. "Here I am, Lord, I have heard you calling in the night, and I will go." I get teary just repeating the words without even singing it. Don't watch me when I'm singing it. It's going to be a tear fest. This was a song that was not written for Paul, but it was written with Isaiah the prophet and Samuel in mind. Because Isaiah was called by God, and before hearing what the job was, he's like, "Yeah, I'll do it. I'll follow you wherever you want me to, God." And it was about Samuel, who was continually woken up in the night, interrupted by God. "Here I am, Lord." God calls to you in this moment, in every moment. The light of Christ might be blinding, but it reveals a way. The fire of the Holy Spirit might burn us, but it is a furnace within our hearts, driving us to justice and peace. God's voice is calling you. On the road, in the night, in a place where you least expected that you might find that voice. But it is the voice of your shepherd calling you on. So when Christ calls, how will you answer? "Here I am, Lord." Amen. Let's join our hearts and voices as we sing that hymn, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky. Voices United, number 509, I, the Lord of Sea and Sky.